The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we take nothing more from the Gospel of St. Mark, may we take those words that it opens with, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's a short and to the point statement. And indeed, St. Mark's Gospel is short and to the point. It's easily readable at one sitting, and in fact, it's regularly comfortably performed as a monologue, almost like a soliloquy or a play. There's a pithiness and a pace about St. Mark's Gospel. You often see the linking words next, then, immediately. They're absolutely characteristic words of his writing. The narrative moves along all the time. Mark is the sort of writer who doesn't use 10 words when one will do. His economy of words reflects the urgency of his message. Mark sounds like a man in a hurry to convey something that is so significant and so life-changing that he cannot restrain it. There is a breathlessness about Mark's writing, but this shouldn't be confused with superficiality or lack of depth. Mark's gospel, precisely because of his style and content, has remarkable and profound depth. His opening line captures this, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It works in two ways. First, on one reading, it's a simple statement of fact. It's the opening line of the gospel that bears Mark's name. It is a beginning, the beginning of a book that will have an ending. But one of the interesting things about St. Mark's gospel is that there are two legitimate possible endings. This is because manuscripts of Mark's gospel have been found with different endings, a short one and a long one. Either way, it's clear in Mark's gospel that he takes it as read that the reader, you and me, knows that Jesus Christ is Son of God and risen from the dead. That's the good news that he's proclaiming. The other way to read that opening line, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is to understand that Mark's gospel is only the beginning of the story, albeit a decisive one. It's the beginning because the story, the good news, the gospel, is not yet closed. It's not closed in our day. Indeed, it will not close until the very end of the world. Mark wants us to draw us into something that is decisive and compelling and life-giving, not a remote historical reminiscence, but something that has power now. That is the life of Jesus Christ, into which we may be drawn through baptism as we approach the very image of the Father. So Mark begins his telling of the good news, the gospel, with that pithy statement that is at the same time to the point and suggestive of so much more to come, as beginnings always are, or at least should be. The gospel continues and will continue until its fulfillment at the time when, in St. Paul's words, God shall be all in all. Mark's pace, which I have referred to, is set from the opening verses. John the Baptist will prepare the way, a way along which Jesus will stride and invite us to walk with him. Mark lays a route out in front of us. And this way is prepared not strictly by John. It's prepared by the Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus known then and now. As John declares, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit continues revealing Jesus. The Spirit reveals Jesus when the heavens are torn apart in that wonderful and vivid image, and the Spirit descends like a dove upon him. There is the work of the Holy Trinity, the Spirit revealing Christ Jesus, who is declared as the beloved Son of the Father. Yet still Mark's Gospel propels us on, since no sooner than we hear the Father's voice, Mark tells us in his typical register, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Mark may move at breakneck pace, but there is still space for contemplation. 40 days in the wilderness, a time when Jesus withdraws for quiet solitude, just as many of us will feel a deep need for from time to time. In those 40 days, he experiences in solitude the intimacy of the relationship with his Father, resisting the temptations of Satan. And coming out of that 40 days of solitude, he declares, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That proclamation restates our very first verse of St. Mark's Gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So as we honour St. Mark, as we read his Gospel, which we might perhaps make a point of doing tonight or this week, we honour someone who strides majestically upon the path of Jesus Christ. We honour someone in St. Mark who invites us to join him and see the beginning of the eternal Gospel lived and proclaimed in Jesus Christ. Mark, who walked and sailed and was blown along with the Apostle Paul, taking the good news, gospel, to the very ends of the earth, a task with which we ourselves are entrusted, that we may be bearers of the gospel of peace. So as we honour St. Mark tonight, may we pray that we may be driven on by the Holy Spirit, so that we know, make known, and are known by Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. That's Mark's message. That's his proclamation, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.